Hello everyone. My name is Michael Salin. So I work for Microsoft, and I'm mostly the mainer of Lanlark, which is a new Scheduled Linux feature. It's about sandboxing. So this talk is about a Rust library we wrote for Lanlark, and we kind of had some challenges about compatibility. So yeah, just quick introduction context to understand the problematic here. Why care about security? So here, it might be obvious for some, but every application can be compromised. Every application can be trusted at first, and during the lifetime of a process, it can become malicious. As developers, there's multiple problems. We don't want to participate to malicious actions performed by attackers through our software, and we kind of have a responsibility for users, especially to protect their personal data. And there's also there might be some issues about third-party code. So security sandboxing is a security approach to isolate software, and mainly to isolate them by dropping ambient access rights. So in a nutshell, when you launch an application in common Linux distro, this application can access a lot of files, including some which are kind of private, like .ssh, for example. So sandboxing should not be confused with namespaces and containers, which is a way to create kind of virtualized environments. And SecOm is also something which is really interesting for security purposes, but it's not about access control. It's about protecting the kernel. That was initial goal of SecOm. So Lanlark is really dedicated from the ground to bring sandboxing features to Linux, to bring some security features to the kernel. It is an access control system available to every process. You don't need to be a root or whatever. And it is designed to be embedded in applications, so to create a built-in sandboxing. It's a way to create one or even multiple layers of new securities. So it is after all system-wide access control which are already in place. And so it's available on most distros nowadays. And if it is not the case, I encourage you to open an issue in your favorite distro. So about sandboxing here, what's the interesting point about sandboxing and built-in application security is that we can create tailored security policies and embed them in the application. So there's interesting things about that. And that might help to make it security invisible, which is kind of the main purpose here. We want to not bother users, but secure them anyway. So because this security policy can be embedded in the application, it can use the application semantic. It can also use the application configuration transparently, so you don't need to add another configuration stuff. It's not another layer of execution. It's embedded in the application. And of course, if the configuration depends on user interaction, it can adapt to this change of behavior. And one really interesting point is, as a developer, you want to test what you do, and you want to kind of get guarantees that whatever you're developing is still working. And being able to embed security policies in your application make it possible to test them the same way that you can test every other features. So that's really interesting. You don't rely on, C Linux being installed on your test machine and so on. And it adapts to the application over time. So if you have a CI which is well configured, you can test it and make sure that you can add new features, update the security policy, and make sure that everything works as expected. So speaking about the library and the Rust library, so the idea was to create obviously something which is Rusty, so idiomatic to Rust. And for this, well, we wanted to leverage strong typing, so to get some developing guarantees, and also to follow some common patterns. So mainly here, the builder pattern. So it's still a work in progress. It's working, but yeah, we're working on improving the API and make it easier and more easy to use for compatibility reasons. So this talk about this kind of compatibility requirements, and so I'll talk about that. Some example of early public users are listed here, but it's still in kind of beta for now. So let's start with some code example. So just as a warning, this kind of simplified code, it's working. But yeah, for the demo, well, it's not demo, but for this example, the idea is to make it simple to make it easier to understand. So you can see at the left, there's a C code, and at the right, the exact same semantic, but in Rust. So I will mostly talk about the Rust code, but yeah, you can take a look at the C code to kind of see the difference between them and how Rust can be useful there. So as I said, it is based on the builder pattern. So you create a rule set object here with the rule set new, and from there, you kind of call different methods to build the object here, in this case, a rule set. So rule set will contain a set of rules. And yeah, at first you define what you want to enforce, what do you want to restrict, what you want to deny by default. So in this case, it is two actions, the action to execute files and the action to write on files. So obviously it's not enough, but in this case, it's easy to understand for this simple use case. And then once you define the rule set and what the rule set can handle, well, you can create it. And the rule set creation translates to, you can see at the left, there's a landlock create rule set. And this function is in fact, a syscall. So in the Rust part, when you call the create method, it creates a new rule set, which is backed underneath by a new file descriptor dedicated to landlock. And that is wrapped in the rule set object. Then, if you want to add rules to allow some directory to be, for example, executable, which is the case here, so you open the slash user directory, and you make it executable. So allow access, XFS execute. And then you can add other rule you want for all the exception that should be legitimate for the legitimate use case. And then you restrict the current process, in fact, the current thread. And from this point, the current thread can only execute files which are in slash user. And it cannot write anything at all, actually. So that was an introduction, quick introduction to the library. And the thing is, landlock is not a full feature access control yet, because, it is complex. And, to reach this goal, we need to spend much more years to increment, to add new features to the Linux kernel. And the thing is, sometimes you might add new features that enable to restrict more, and sometimes we might add some features to restrict less. So let's see what this means. So the first version of landlock, which was released with a 5.13 kernel, basically allowed to read, write, and do a lot of common stuff to restrict a lot of common file system actions. But there was, you can see here, there's three categories. The first one, always denied, was for the first version of landlock, the action that was always denied whenever you sandboxed a thread. So that was for, complexity in the development, but also security reasons. So for example, you are not able to execute set-ready binaries because it will be kind of a way to bypass the sandbox. And there's also some restriction on ptrace, so you're not allowed to debug an application process which is outside the sandbox. Obviously, it will be a way to get out of the sandbox. So that's not what we want. So the second version of LANOC had its new way, a new access right, which is a way to rebound files. So at first, it was denied to change the parent directory of a file for security reasons, because LANOC is based on file hierarchies identification, and that was kind of complex. So, but with the second version, we implemented that, and then it became configurable. So one item less in the always deny box. In the third version of LANOC, so all these versions are new kernel releases. And in the third version, we added a new way to restrict file truncation. So truncation in a nutshell is to change the size of a file. And this was always allowed before because it wasn't handled. It was a bit complex to implement this in the kernel at the time, but now it is possible. So you can see that we can move items from the always deny box to the configurable, and from the always allowed box to the configurable list. So application compatibility. There's two main things in compatibility. There's forward compatibility in a way that when you update your kernel, you still can use the old kernel features. So that's kind of common. And the backward compatibility in this case is, well, when you're using a kernel feature, well, you might need a specific version of the kernel that supports this feature. And if your application is launched on an old kernel, well, that feature might be missing. And the thing is, when you're developing an application, well, you don't know on which kernel your application will run, because, well, it's a user choice and a distro choice. What comes with LANOC is the ability to get the LANOC, what we call the ABI version. So it's really just a number that increments that started at 1 and then increment for each new set of features which is added to the kernel. So to give you an idea, it's really simple to get this ID, this version. It's with a LANOC create rule set syscall with a specific flag. So yeah, it's a C code, but it's really simple. So what we want to do at first, well, there's four main properties. The first one is to be able to, well, to make it easy to use for developers, of course. So we want something which is generic, which kind of follows the builder pattern because, well, it's kind of common and easy to use. We want developer to focus on what they want to restrict, not the internal implementation in the kernel. And we want them to gradually go from a coarse grain access restriction to a fine grain one. So we don't want them to need to implement a fine grain at first. It might be too difficult. So yeah, in the same way that we can incrementally add new set of features, we can also incrementally restrict more and more over time. So no need to be super strict at first. And it should be simpler to write for the common cases. Okay, at first, a first improvement was to create group access rights. So let's say you know which LANOC version is supported by the running kernel. Let's say it's the second version. Then you can create a new root set, which will get all the access rights which are supported by this specific kernel. So you just call the handle access with accessfs from all and then ABI2. And then you can do kind of the same when you're adding a new rule. And this time, well, you want to add an exception on the slash user to make it readable. So in this case, there's two main groups, the from read and the from write. So for example, the from read includes reading a file, but also reading a directory, so listing a directory. Okay, second property that we really like to have is being able to enforce a strict restriction. So even if we don't know on which kernel the application will run, on some cases, we might want to be sure that all features are enforced and restricted. There's two use cases here. The first one is to test it. If you want to sandbox an application, you want to make sure that even if you're using all the sandboxing features, well, your application will work as expected. So that's really important. And you don't want to run your application in an old kernel and kind of be fooled by the fact that your application is running because there's no, well, not all security features are enabled. So you want to catch these kind of issues in your CI. And also for security software, you want to have some security guarantees. So you want to have a way to follow the whole sandboxing with all security features that we embedded in our application. The third property is to be able to enforce the best effort security with some minimal requirements. So that's kind of the opposite. And this use case is mainly for end users because end user, well, you don't know which kernel they will use. And so you want to be able to enforce an opportunistic sandboxing. So if they have a new kernel, well, they will be more protected. If they have an old kernel, they might not be protected at all, but that's not your choice. That's their choice. And at the end, they want to run your application anyway. So another requirement is to be able to disable the whole sandboxing if some features which are required may not be met. And this approach should be easier to write than others because it is the most common things to do. And the last property is being able to run, well, to configure at runtime the sandboxing, but to make it in a way that you're running most of the code. So the idea is to be able to have kind of the same code running everywhere, almost, even if they don't have a recent kernel. Why that? Because you want to kind of identify early kind of some issues which might be linked to the sandboxing code, and that if you have, let's say, two users using a recent kernel and four users using an old kernel, well, you might want to test as much as possible with all your users, even if they don't have a newer kernel. So the first approach we took was, I'll go quickly here. There's three approaches. The first one was to change, to add a new method to the root set builder pattern. So it was a simple method to set or unset the best effort approach. So if it was false, it was required to have this feature. So in the example, an application that need to move files from one directory to another needed to have the accessFS refer access right to allow this access. And if it wasn't the case, well, the sandboxing should not be enforced, otherwise it will break the application. So that is a requirement. And in this case, so that was a way to kind of change the state of the builder over time. So this is kind of flexible, easy to understand, but there's some kernel cases. And yeah, it makes the code not really clean. Another approach was kind of to do the same, but this time with, instead of two shifts, enable or disable, there were three ways to change it. The best effort way, the soft requirement, and the hard requirement. So a way to make it best effort, a way to make it error out if there's any unsupported feature, and a way to disable the sandbox without error if some feature were not supported. So that wasn't ideal neither. And the last approach, which is currently a work in progress, is kind of a new one. So the idea is to make it still configurable and to follow all these properties, but to make it a bit simpler and still flexible. So here, in a nutshell, well, you can make a new rule set that will error out if there's any unsupported features, but at the same time, you can specify which feature is required to enable the sandbox or not. So that's kind of specific, but yeah, should be better. So going forward, there's a lot going on in this Rust library, lot to improve. New help, new helper, new documentation, and I encourage you to well, send back your application or others. And well, there's some tips if you want to get some motivation here. There's some rewards program. So thank you for attention. There's some interesting link here. This talk was kind of a dense, but I hope you enjoyed. Thank you.